Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, beginning, of course, with August 1. Here we are in the August already, August. Normal people are on vacation and could care less about politics. The truly sick are running for office. The sickest of the bunch are so power-hungry and so mad that years ahead of an election, they are running like lunatics trying to get us to be interested in them. And we, the people, could care less, incidentally. Here are some of the stories I put up on michaelsavage.com, because to me, they're more interesting than who said what to whom and how and why and this and that. And the Democrats, every day they're trying to find up another impeachment, another investigation. You know, this is why Congress has such a low rating right now. It's the Democrats, stupid. They're going after Gonzalez. Now, you know what's interesting to me about that? I don't know what Gonzalez said or when or how or what or wish. The whole issue is absurd. When Clinton became president, he fired all 93 U.S. attorneys. All of them were fired. So 6 years into his term, or 5.5 years, Bush gets rid of a few lame duck lefties, and they make it into an impeachable offense that Albert Gonzalez lied. These self-righteous frauds, these Democrats, had nothing to say when the Democrat Attorney General Janet Sterno incinerated 78 men, women, and children in Waco, Texas. There was no investigation of Janet Reno. But Albert Gonzalez may have blinked the wrong way already. They want to impeach him. Why? Because they're a bunch of racist crackers. The Democrats are a bunch of racist crackers who hate blacks and they hate Hispanics who do not toe the party line. That's why. And you can quote me on that. Of course, you don't care about that anyway. So what I have for you on my website is this. This is a video you should look at. It says, Hero Priest Fired for Standing Up to Gang. The left-wing vermin, the mentally defective pot smokers in the news business, had a different headline. They said a Roman Catholic priest unleashed a torrent of expletives and racist abuse against skateboarders outside his cathedral. The guy was defending himself against a bunch of punks who circled him like hyenas. This guy should be given a reward, but they fired him instead. This is what we have in the news business today. Pacifists, perverts, potheads, and they pass themselves off as objective journalists. Not to me, it doesn't go by my eyes. So click on that one. And you're going to see, you got to watch the whole thing. These punks should be arrested, by the way, for what they did to this poor priest. Hero priest fired for standing up to gang. Click here. And then those of you who love illegal aliens so much, of course, I would like to ask you, why don't you adopt a few? If you love illegal aliens so much and you want immigration reform, why don't you take 10 or so into your house like in Dr. Zhivago and put them in your bedrooms, have a few start bonfires in your living room. Maybe they can cook a goat in your toilet for you. But don't tell me to have my house broken into any further by these illegitimate gangs that are running this country into the ground. And don't give me the big lie that they contribute anything. They contribute jack to this country. They don't pay Social Security. They export any excess money back to their home country. The largest number, by the way, of illegal aliens, the largest number, rather, of prisoners are illegal aliens. And those are statistics given to us by the FBI. Here it is. Illegal alien contributions to the United States. It's from the first quarter of 2006, the INS FBI statistical report on undocumented immigrants, meaning illegal aliens. Did you know that 95% of warrants in Los Angeles are for illegal aliens? 83% of warrants for murder in Phoenix, Arizona are for illegal aliens? 86% of warrants for murder in Albuquerque, New Mexico are for illegal aliens? 75% of them on the most wanted list in Los Angeles, New Mexico, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Albuquerque are for illegal aliens? 25% of all inmates in California detention centers are Mexican nationals here illegally. 40% of all inmates in you want me to go down the list? You go down the list. And why don't you put it on your windows? Because you're giving your country away to a bunch of border crashers. 380,000 plus anchor babies were born in the United States in 2005 to illegal alien parents. Illegal alien parents. And you're paying for it, sucker. You're paying for it, sucker. Look at the statistics there. 14 out of 31 TV stations are in Los Angeles County are Spanish only. 15 out of 24 TV stations in Albuquerque, Spanish only. 17 radio stations in Los Angeles, Spanish only. 16 out of 28 TV stations, Phoenix, Spanish only. 21 radio stations in Los Angeles, Spanish only. 17 radio stations in Albuquerque, Spanish only. Not bilingual, mind you. Catering to illegal aliens, primarily. I'll go down the list. 43% of all food stamps issued are to illegal aliens. 41% of all unemployment checks in the United States, illegal aliens. 58% of all welfare payments in the United States are issued to illegal aliens. Less than 2% of illegal aliens are picking crops, but 41% of these bums are on welfare. So don't tell me that we're mistreating them. They're a bunch of criminals, and we should throw them out of the country. Will it happen? No. They'll throw you out of the country before you throw them out of the country. And I put that up on michaelsavage.com. I want you to print it up. I want you to make flyers out of it. And I want you to make some liberal eat it at the next board meeting. Make them eat these words. Tell them the data comes from the INS or the FBI. Tell them to look with their own eyes. So that's it. Here's another one for you who love the Republicans so much. On the other side of the aisle, there is no other side of the aisle. The Republicans are the ones who try to break the borders and have us adopt more illegal aliens, okay? So don't tell me it's a Democrat problem. That was a George Bush problem. He tried to engineer so-called immigration reform. He's bought and sold by the same forces as the illegitimate Democrats, as far as I'm concerned, on the immigration issue. Here's your friends, the Saudis. They just bought a major supplier to U.S. military. Comes to you on michaelsavage.com from the World Tribune. Saudi Arabia has acquired a Massachusetts firm that is a leading supplier to the U.S. military. The state-owned Saudi Basic Industries Corp. has purchased GE Plastics from General Electric for $11.6 billion, based in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Read on. Read on and puke from what your government is doing to you. And those of you who like John Edwards because you're brain damaged, you're the exact person he should have defended because you were born brain damaged. More than half of all donors who gave to the John Edwards campaign have been lawyers. Lawyers give to John Edwards. Imams drop passengers from lawsuit over removal from flight. When the imams are thrown out of the country, I'll be a happy man. I wouldn't call them Islamic religious leaders. I call them Islamic con men. The Islamic con men who were removed from a U.S. Airways flight in Minneapolis, who pressed the lawsuit against everybody in town because the vermin in the ACLU set him up to do it, should be thrown out of my country with the ACLU. I'll be right back. So we've kicked the football down the field. We've opened up today with the actual statistics about illegal aliens and what they're doing to this country, particularly you left-wing idiots who spew the nonsense about the contributions of illegal aliens to our society and how our economy would collapse without them. That's all rubbish, and I've given you the data. It's from the INS and the FBI, and you can download it from michaelsavage.com. It's very uncomfortable for the left to hear reality, and they don't want to hear it. They want to live with this fantasy of a rose-colored glass view of illegal aliens. The fact of the matter is 95% of warrants in Los Angeles are for illegal aliens. 83% of warrants for murder in Phoenix, Arizona are for illegal aliens. Go down the list and take a look for yourself as to what their contributions actually are in the overall scheme. In terms of dollars and cents, the actual cost in 05 was $70 billion per year, net after subtracting taxes immigrants pay. According to Professor Donald Huddle, Rice University, there is a net loss to us of $70 billion a year as a result of illegal immigration in the United States of America. We don't know what the impact is in 2006. Chicago, Scotty, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Buenos tardes, senor. Or should you prefer shalom? How you doing?
Your humor is not working. What is it you'd like to say?
This is what I want to say, is that I'm a Mexican, and I think that, you know, it's a shame that you can't find anything to be, you know, positive or be happy about. Every day you just complain and whine and complain and whine. But you don't do anything about it but whine and complain.
Well, Scotty, let me ask you something. How do your fair friends in Mexico treat illegal aliens from Guatemala?
Hey, let me tell you something.
No, let me tell you something, senor. How do your friends in Mexico treat illegal aliens who try to break into their country? Do they give them food stamps, unemployment, welfare, and legal care, medical care? Is that how your friends treat them in Mexico, Scotty?
Can I answer the question now, please?
You don't have an answer to the question because you lost the chess match before you even began. The fact of the matter is Mexico treats their illegal aliens the way we should treat them.
Okay? We are here, and you can't do anything about it but complain. So keep complaining.
What do you mean there's nothing we can do about it? You guys just tried to hijack the government, but you didn't win, did you?
Ha, ha, ha. There's
you just tried to hijack the U.S. government, but it didn't work, did it? The people rose up against you and the sellout phonies in the government. You didn't get your way, did you, Scotty?
We are here. You can't do it.
No, well, you're here now. Yes, you're here now, but not for long. You're not here forever. You're here for now. You're a guest in our house. But if you continue to break the law, you're not going to be here for long.
Guess what? I'm here.
Ah, take a walk. Do me a favor, take a walk. Leave me alone. The fact of the matter is the American people can't stand the illegal aliens in this country. You have a bad attitude. You are anti-American. You wave the Mexican flag at sporting events and you want us to love you? You won't learn the English language? You want us to love you? You abuse our hospitals and run them into a third world level? You want us to love you? The schools have to bend over backwards to teach your children in a foreign language because you're not smart enough to teach them English? And you want us to love you? Forget about it. Seattle, Washington. Joe, go ahead. You're next up.
Hey, I'm so curious. Why are you always bashing the left?
Is there anything positive about the left?
Well...
excuse me, what are you? Did you smoke your medical marijuana before calling the show? You can't answer a question? For everything that's anti-family, anti-American, anti-flag, anti-military, anti-police, anti-church. What should I like about you?
Well, I am a Republican.
Can you talk or not? What are you, a product of the schools in Seattle, Washington? You can't even complete a sentence? Okay, dummy, have a nice day. There's an American for you, an American educated. Why are you so against the left in America? All right, let's move on. This is so stupid. See, they don't like when you divulge the reality of illegal aliens and what they've done to this country. They want you to live in the rose-colored world that John Edwards and Hillary Clinton and, frankly, President Bush have put out about how wonderful they all are. And they all come here to work. That's why 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens. 1 out of 3 don't belong in this country. They snuck in and committed a felony. That's why they're in prison. And they can scream racist all they want in the crowded nation, but it turns out they're the racist. They're the brown supremacists, not me. They're the ones who hate this country, and they're the ones who hate white people. Don't make any mistake about it. Don't sit here like a dummy waiting to be knocked over. They're the racist. They won't speak your language. They won't learn your language. They will not respect your founding fathers. They won't respect your own constitution. They don't respect your borders, language, or culture. They're the racists. They're an invading force. And the man says we can't do anything about it? Well, he means that the government that is compromised will do nothing about it. But all across America, police and sheriffs are doing something about it. They're rounding them up. They're imprisoning them. And they're going to have a gigantic snowball effect eventually. Eventually, we're going to dry up the benefits for the illegals, and they just will stop coming here, you know. Brian, Cleveland, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm a socialist. I believe in socialism. Well, of course you do.
You're a loser who can't make anything on his own, so you want it from me. What else is new?
Do you know how much money Bill Gates has? I mean, he doesn't...
Well, who'd he take it from, you?
He doesn't need $55 billion.
What do you mean he doesn't need it? Who'd he take it from, you?
He didn't take it from anybody, but he's...
How much taxes does he pay a year? How much in taxes do you think he pays a year?
I have no idea.
You have no idea because you're a dummy. How could you have an idea? He pays, and so do the people who make more than $1 million a year, about 90% of all the federal income tax in this country. Did you know that? Without us, you'd wind up eating mites in the street.
Do you know how much food corporations waste, like Procter and Gamble, when they make
food? You're telling me there are skinny homeless people in America who are starving to death?
Yeah, but
have you ever taken a look at the people on welfare lately? The size of them.
You can take that food.
They're fat as horses because they have too much to eat and not enough to do, but knock out babies and collect welfare. What are you talking about? Let me repeat the hard data, my friend. The people who earn over $1 million a year provide over 90% of all of the federal income tax in this country. The people who earn over $1 million a year support men like you. Have a nice day. Three in a row now. Let's go for a 10-pin shot. They don't like it. Of course they want socialism. Wouldn't you want socialism if you were either genetically damaged or you were a drunk or an alcoholic or a drug addict or stupid or lazy and you wanted somebody to just pay you to sit at home? Of course you'd want socialism. Sure you'd want socialism. You could sit at home and play dominoes like they do in Cuba in ripped undershirts with 1954 Buicks. That's what you get with socialism. See, I don't want to sit home and play dominoes. I could have retired years ago, but I won't retire because I believe in borders, language, and culture. I also believe in fair play. And I also believe in being paid for your work and not being taxed to death in order to support deadbeat bums and illegal aliens. And that's what makes me a popular talk show host, because I actually represent the working man in America, by the way. They don't like when they hear reality. They're so used to having spoon-fed pablum from the politicians who are telling them they're all wonderful. They walk around with the smiles and they tell them that they're oppressed minorities or underprivileged whites and the rich corporations are stealing from them, and when they become a president or whatever they're going to become, they're going to balance the scales out. Yeah. And, of course, they've got the useful idiots out there believing them. But when they hear the realities and they have to look nakedly at the statistics of A, who pays the taxes here, and B, what the illegal aliens have done to our country, of course they're going to get mad at me. I have told you before, sometimes medicine tastes lousy. In fact, good medicine always tastes lousy. Old Doc Savage gives you the pill that you need in order to get straight. That pill tastes lousy. I don't sugarcoat my words. You want sugarcoating? Go to Hillary or Obama.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. You know, my dog is a welfare recipient when you think about it. What does he do? He sits around all day. I give him three square meals a day. At least he doesn't spill olive oil on the floor of the dog store and pull a slip and fall and call some dog lawyer. Did you see that story? It's up on Michael Savage. We have it up on the website. You got to put that one up if it's not up there, Drew and everyone else. They won't disclose the picture of the woman, so you have to go see it for yourself. She says she slipped and fell in a supermarket in Florida, but surveillance cameras caught it. They rewound the tape, and this tub of lard, a welfare recipient herself, was seen opening up a bottle of olive oil a few seconds before and spilling it on the floor and going, "Oh, I slipped. Oh, rush me to the hospital. Call 911. You know how many of these poor EMT guys have to take these loads into the hospital with the shyster lawyer waiting outside? They should disbar the lawyer, throw him out of the country, seize his assets. Play the clip.
Well, a woman slipped and fell in a Florida supermarket with injuries severe enough to require fire rescue, but store surveillance reveals there might be more to this story than meets the eye. Cameras captured the woman's fall, but when the store owner rewound the tapes, he saw the same woman in that same aisle just minutes before. You can see her take a bottle of olive oil, twist off the cap, and pour it on the floor, and then hides it on the shelf. She then returns to that spot and falls. The woman has not been charged with a crime, nor has she tried to file a claim against the store. The store owner says, though, he's glad that he spent more than $30,000 on a state-of-the-art surveillance system.
Yeah. But the woman, of course, like the Durham dirtbag, is not in jail. There are certain crimes and a certain group of people in America who can commit crimes and not get punished, you see? Crime and punishment apply to only certain people in America. And crime and punishment doesn't apply to other people in America. They are just not pursued. So the Durham dirtbag in Durham, North Carolina, makes up a story that boys raped her. She's black. They're white. Their lives are almost ruined. Their parents spend millions of dollars. They're finally exonerated. The DA, of course, has lost his law license. Hopefully he'll go to jail. She walks away scot-free. Not a good message. The good message is you make up fake claims of rape, you go away for the amount of time the boy would have gone away to jail. The only thing blocking this is the feminist lobby, the group of harridans who created all of these false laws of the rape shield law, that if a woman makes up a story, you can't disclose the poor little fawning creature's name because she's sitting there in such fear. Yeah. What do you want me to talk about here? You know, I've done this before. I do it, Borders, Language, and Culture every day. I mean, I could do it till I'm blue in the face, and it is making a difference. But I like to save my anger and my powder for the next time the government tries to sneak in another illegal alien amnesty. We'll go after them again, one after the other. You remember what you did with your millions of emails? You said, grant amnesty, we'll deport you from office. Do you remember I said, keep it simple? No amnesty, we will deport you from office. Hundreds of thousands of you, if not more, sent those emails around the country, and we won. We won. The Benedict Arnolds were afraid of you because they know they have to come back to you, you know? So what would you like to talk about? Let's move past the illegal alien thing. I should do a set piece. I did a couple of great interviews today that you didn't hear about. Well, no, let's do the Koran flush case because this one has me intrigued. There's a group called CAIR, a questionable Muslim front group, a pressure group, all up in arms over a Quran left in a toilet at Pace University. Now, I'm against putting Bibles in toilets, Qurans in toilets. I'm against putting crucifixes in urine and such. But you know it's actually not illegal to do so? Yet when it comes to Muslims, they're a special breed. They've created a law that doesn't even exist. Now, how can you take a person who threw a Quran down a toilet into a toilet and sue him for a hate crime? Is the toilet the injured party? Is the book the injured party? A hate crime can only apply if it's a crime against a person, not an object. But don't tell that to the Muslims, because to them, the book itself is the victim of the hate crime. Listen to clip 1 and 21 and 22.
This person didn't do it to his own copy of the Quran. He stole Qurans and did it in an act of intimidation. If he had done this in his own home or, you know, on the public square as an act of some perverse free speech, nobody would care. We get...
Hold on. Wait a minute. Abraham Hooper says that we can now flush Qurans down our toilet. And nobody would care. Well, that's interesting. So you have it on record. Abraham Cooper of CAIR says that if you flush a Quran down your own toilet, nobody will care. So I don't understand what this case is all about. If he stole it, that's one thing. He should be charged with stealing a book from the library. Could you let's listen to the rest of this? It's got me interested.
He was specifically targeting the Muslims on the campus.
Oh, get out the violin. All of you are so victims. You're such victims. Poor Muslims. Oh, hearts and flowers. You're all so victimized.
Because of the hostile atmosphere created by not only this act, but other.
Shut your mouth. Shut up. You are a hostile act. Everything you say is a hostile act. You think you're smart with your legal degree? And the ACLU guiding you to call it a hostile act, be the EEOC, you are committing a hostile act every time you attack America. And every time you act like you're a victim, Hooper, you are creating a hostile nation. Anyway, at least we learned today that nobody would care if you flush a Quran down your toilet. You got it on record from Abraham Hooper. WOR in New York. Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. Do you really think there's any merit to smoking a few joints in long-term schizophrenia? I think I heard it on your show.
There's any merit to the relationship between joints, marijuana, and schizophrenia?
Yeah.
What do you mean, do I think? The evidence has been mounting for at least 20 years that schizophrenia can be triggered in sensitive individuals by marijuana. And it's a biological fact that marijuana could mess with your head.
Yeah, but not 20, 30 years later. I have to look it up, but, you know, maybe that's...
Well, here's the study. And it says this. The study on psychosis showed that smoking marijuana raised the risk of schizophrenia by 40%. People are more likely to get those symptoms if they use marijuana. You hear? Now, some doctors will say that it may not be the marijuana, but the marijuana is unmasking something that's already there. You know, the chicken and the egg thing? What's the difference if it's already there and you have it suppressed and you're living a normal life and then you take a substance which unmasks an underlying a schizophrenia? Do you want to unmask that? No. So why then take a chance with a compound, a drug like marijuana, which can unmask schizophrenia? Why would you want to smoke that?
I smoked two joints for my whole life. It really gave me a high, but I said that's enough.
Did you know that the latest study shows that one marijuana joint, smoking it, affects the lungs as much as smoking five cigarettes? In other words, we're talking about smoke per se. I have told the audience on this show, because I know more than anybody in the talk radio business about science, that marijuana is an extremely toxic drug. The smoke from marijuana, I pointed out at least 3, 4, 5 years ago, and over again, is more toxic than cigarette smoke. This is not arguing you should smoke cigarettes, but I will never stop laughing at these liberal losers who say that marijuana is natural and it's an herb, and therefore it's okay. Well, by that token, tobacco's a natural and an herb. The American Indians loved it. In fact, you could say it's a Native American plant that's being exterminated illegally. Let's move on, .Savage here. Go ahead, smoke marijuana. Continue to think that you know what you're doing. You're cooler than everybody. You know, every movie now has marijuana smoking in it. Have you seen this? Every time a normal white couple goes home, they light up a joint. Have you seen this? Like the cool couples all smoke joints for recreational use. They're selling marijuana usage, and that's what you would expect from the perverts of Hollywood. What about the medical benefits of marijuana? There are none. There are no medical benefits of marijuana. The medical benefits from marijuana are from one particular compound in marijuana, not from smoking marijuana. It's from one of the compounds in the drug. So what you do is you extract that compound and you take it in a pill. You don't smoke it if you're sick, because the smoke will make you sick in another way. It's also a very a drug that creates dependence. So that's the story. So how come it was okay to put a crucifix in urine at Brooklyn Museum by two wonderful pieces of garbage from Brooklyn, two Brooklyn types? You know the type, the self-righteous types that walk around Brooklyn, the triangle shirtwaist fire types, the ones who walk around like they know everything and they're better than everybody. So they oversaw the Brooklyn Museum. Another guy took a crucifix and put it in elephant dung. They call that art. Maybe the student who threw the Quran down the toilet was an idiot, and he desecrated it. However, it's not a crime to throw a book in a toilet. After all, it's only a book. It's a book, for God's sakes. It's ink on paper. Ink on paper. Now, I'm against throwing Qurans down toilets. Don't get me wrong. I'm against throwing Bibles in toilets. I'm against putting crucifixes in urine and such. But I don't see the crime. The only crime this guy committed was stealing the book from the library, if, in fact, he stole it from the library. We don't know that. But these pressure groups, these Muslim pressure groups, you know, don't miss a beat. Right away, there they are, right? We're all intimidated, hostile environment, sue the university. That's a hate crime unto itself. The day they take these con artists out and put them in prison for having shaken our society down like they're going to do to the imams, those flying imams are going to go to jail, I hope, the way Nifong did in Durham, North Carolina. I hope they put them away. How are they treated in their home country? By the way, how are Bibles treated in Saudi Arabia? How do the wonderful, nice Muslims of Saudi Arabia treat Torahs and Bibles? How did the wonderful Muslims of Afghanistan, called the Taliban, treat Buddhist statues? You have any answers to that, all you leftists? And no answers, of course. None whatsoever. WOR New York, Rudy, any answer on that question?
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to share with you my frustration. I was in Saudi Arabia 3 years back, and they took me through a security checkpoint there and basically took away my Bible, and in front of my eyes, that security officer threw that into trash. I was standing there like a helpless man. A day I would never...
You're saying this is government policy in Saudi Arabia. Well, maybe you can call up CAIR, the Council of Arab-American Relations, and ask them if they can help you get your Bible back. Or maybe they can sue the Saudi government on your behalf because it was a hostile airport environment.
Such a hostile thing, and I just kept staring at that man. Couldn't say a word. Yeah. Because
how about cutting people's heads off? I would say that's a hostile work environment, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. This is
all a conspiracy. CAIR is part of a worldwide plot to impose Islam on the world. Make no mistake about it. They're one of the groups. In some places, they use bombs. In other places, they use guns. In other places, they use the courts. Make no mistake about it. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. It's not illegal to have an opinion in America. You can take that to the bank. And by the way, the last I checked, righteous indignation is not illegal, incidentally. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Great stories up there on MichaelSavage.com. And, well, you're flooding onto the site. I love it. It's never going to be a big site. It's a site. I think it's the pictures you like. But remember, I don't make the stories up. We just link. And we try to find stories that you're not going to find on Drudge or any of the other wonderful sites. And they are wonderful sites. They're excellent. We try to find other stories that they don't either find or we get first. I'll be back.
Savage.
This is the story here. Saudis buy major supplier to U.S. military. Illegal aliens' contributions to the U.S. are largely negative, according to the INS and the FBI. A hero priest stands up to a gang of skateboarders in Australia, and he's fired. More than half of all donors who have given to the John Edwards campaign have been lawyers. The so-called imams have dropped passengers from a lawsuit over removal from a flight. That's because Congress just made it illegal to sue passengers. Islamic religious leaders, they're not religious leaders. They're gangsters, as far as I can tell. They're gangsters trying to use our airlines as a tool to sue. They were outflanked by the people and the Congress again. And once these shysters are uncovered for what they are, they should be deported and their assets seized. Those are some of the topics. 1-800-449-8255. Is American citizenship for sale? Read that article on MichaelSavage.com. Oh, sure, it's for sale. Number of self-identified Democrats and Republicans are declining, according to the Rasmussen reports. That's because I've created the biggest independent movement in the United States of America since Teddy Roosevelt. Many of you used to identify as a Republican or as a Democrat, but you're fed up with supporting these parties that are in it only for themselves to a large extent, and you're now identified as an independent, incidentally. Houston, Texas, Frank, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hello, Dr. Savage. I'd like to give you a brief background of myself. I have a undergraduate in accounting. I have a master's in accounting. I received 3.9 GPAs in both programs. I'm an accomplished accountant, and I'm conservative. I'm very conservative on almost every single topic I agree
with. But you use crack in the morning and heroin at night.
No, sir. I do not use heroin at night, but I've been using marijuana since I was 14, and I always had behavioral problems as a child. My parents never gave me any behavior or mood-altering drugs, but I felt that when I started using marijuana, I was able to sit down and concentrate and truly get my studies together and get my head together.
Look how far you could have gone. Think about it. Think how far you could have gone had you not been a pothead. I mean, you're only an accountant with a master's degree. If you didn't use pot, you might have a PhD and be something really important. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Salt Lake City, Utah. Kerry, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the education. Hey, this weekend I'm going to meet with my 15-year-old son who lives with his mom. And we're going to talk about the birds and bees. I just wanted to know, how do I start out
How old is he?
15.
How old?
1-5, 15.
And you're going to tell him about sex?
Yeah.
How do you know well, first of all, a kid 15 today, I can guarantee you, knows enough pretty much about it with the internet and whatnot. And why do you assume he needs this knowledge? Is he having any behavioral difficulties?
No, he's not. He's a straight-A student.
You want to take old Doc Savage's advice? Don't talk to him about the birds and the bees. He doesn't need it. It'll make both of you uncomfortable, and they'll do well enough without you telling him anything.
Right.
You have no obligation to tell him this stuff. They'll figure it out on their own. It's pretty natural what goes on between boys and girls. And they'll learn it from the internet and from their friends. I don't know why. See, parents get very nervous about this, but my advice is you don't have to discuss it. In many ways, what you're going to do is pass your hang-ups on to them. And most of the older people have bigger hang-ups than the kids do. Best thing, leave it alone. They'll figure it out on their own. They have normal impulses. They'll be in that direction. And if they don't, you're not going to change them anyway. They're going to go whichever way they feel like it. You're not going to change them through any threats of morality, are you?
No, I don't think so.
So let's. Is he acting strange? Is he wearing dresses or anything or what?
No, sir.
All right. So why do you assume as a father, you think it's your moral obligation to have this discussion with him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, does he date girls yet?
No.
Is that what bothers you?
No. He's not. He's only 15. He's not even into girls.
Well, okay. Maybe that's the problem. That's starting to, like, you know, tug at you a little. Is there any of that fear in you?
Absolutely not. No.
And then I would leave it alone. I'm serious here. I would talk one man to the other. There's no motivation for this. You think you have an obligation, but I don't know where it's coming from. There's no rule book on this which says at 15 or 14 you have to talk to your son about sex. Leave it alone. If he has any questions, he could come to you on this. Do you have an open relationship with him?
I think so. I mean, it could be better. My gosh, you know.
Everything could be better. At this age, he's got to buck horns with you. 15, 16, 17, get ready for the young buck bucking horns with you. And that's what he does. He sharpens his horns on you. You're the male in the way. You're the red light. He's got to knock you out of the box. And so, no, you don't have any obligation to talk sex with your son. You leave it to Howard Stern and the other brilliant educators of our society. Larry Flint will help him. Donna Shalala can help him with sexual identity.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I'm not in the mood for it today. It doesn't work. Some days I'm in the mood, some days I'm not. It's the summer. It's the end of August. It's actually the beginning of August at the Hotel Savage. Welcome to the Savage Nation, your favorite radio talk show at this time of day, specifically now at the station where you are dialed. It's a sleepy day in the middle of the summer. There's no fires, there's no earthquakes, no tornadoes, no atomic bombs. And there's things under the surface which I'm talking about. But in my studio, my world, my dog, and by the way, he's not a toy poodle. I knew there was something wrong with Toy. At 11 pounds, he's a miniature. I like miniature better. Toy is like a fake dog. Anyway, he went to lunch with me today. I went to a Chinese place that has a garden, and he sat there with me, and I gave him some of the fish I ate. No bones, you know, like sautéed fish. He liked it. He's relaxing now in the radio studio on the floor with his big ears laying there. You know, I wish I could take a picture of him as he's laying here, because behind him are two paintings, oil paintings on the floor, and books. We make a beautiful picture. And that's the summer. That's what life is all about, is little moments. Sometimes I arrest my own thinking, and I try to see the world as it really is, as opposed to how I see it. Meaning, you know, you have many ways to look at the world. You can look at the world through a political lens. You can look at the world through an artistic lens. You can look at the world through the haze of marijuana or LSD. You look at the world through liberalism. You could look at the world through conservatism. You could look at the world through republicanism. And you're going to wind up seeing a different world no matter how you look. I mean, depending upon what lens you put over your eyes. Some days, particularly like now, the summer, once in a while I catch myself seeing the world in this kind of eternal eye. I see an oil painting like from like Holland in the 1800s, you know, like a dog sleeping on a floor, period. Nothing more to it than that, with a man working next to him at a desk, let's say. Nothing's changed in some ways, and everything's changed in other ways. So having filled up 2 minutes of airtime, I can now move on to the show. 1-800-4. I read today that the Amtrak is offering free booze. Amtrak is trying to build up new business by offering $100 in free alcohol to customers on some overnight trains. On a trial basis for certain sleeper car trips. They're putting out some expensive car trips. I don't know, Grand Luke's trips on the California Zephyr between Chicago and San Francisco. The Southwest Chief between Chicago and L.A. Or the Silver Meteor between Washington, D.C. and Miami or Orlando. And it's an Amtrak reward program. It's like a frequent flyer. You get $100 per person credit for alcohol. So listen, so some group called Mothers Against Drunk Driving questions whether $100 in free alcohol was too much. Now, here's a group that has nothing to say when people on marijuana kill cops or drive off the road or whatever. Illegal aliens have a drunk driving spree to beat the ban in the country. It's an epidemic of illegal aliens driving drunk. And this group, MADD, has never said one word against the illegal aliens. But this they chime in on. Now, what is their business if Amtrak's giving away booze on a train? You're not driving the train. What do they care if you're drinking on a train? This sounds like a lot of credit toward possible overindulging, said mad spokeswoman Misty Mouse. I swear to God, mad spokeswoman Misty Mouse. What is her business? Why would they turn to a person like this for an opinion on that? No one's driving the train, I said to myself. They get it. Wait, there's something at the bottom about the LIE. Hold it. In Long Island, New York, the commuter rail company considered ending alcohol service out of concern some passengers might disembark at their destination and drive home while they were drunk. This proposal was shelved after some patrons opposed the idea. Let me ask you something. You work in Manhattan. You're going home to a horrible house, a horrible marriage, children on Ritalin. You're not making enough money. You're not entitled to get drunk on a train. That's their business, too. The mad women, Misty Mouse, should tell you should go home straight. Don't be stupid. Play the train sound. I turn it on. I'm not in the mood for this right now. I'm a space cadet today. My head is spacey. This August symbolizes that normal people are planning vacations. Psychiatrists go. Where do they go? Where do all the shrinks go in August? They know they're supposed to go somewhere if they're truly important and upper bourgeois. They have to be away for August. The patients have to complain that their shrink is out of town. This still goes on, by the way. Where do shrinks all go? Is there some place they all go that I don't know about? Because I don't want to be there. No doubt I would think one of the leading destinations for psychiatrists would be San Francisco. Because they feel they can come here and be wild and free. You ever see the tour? Oh, God. The saddest sight that I see as tourists, now that I'm just musing on this, is when you see a tourist family, let's say from Europe, and the mother and the father generally look like this. The mother has like almost shaved head. She's moved over, let's say, to the other side of the gender after age 40. She's already shifted gears. She's now DC. She was AC all her life. Now she's DC. But she's still married. The father looks like a beaten bureaucrat, and they have like two kids with him, a 14 and a 16, and they're schlepping around San Francisco with the kids have slumped shoulders, and the parents are trying to like take him on a cable car. You can't take kids with you at 14 to 16. This is one of the saddest things in the world is when you realize they're no longer children. Leave them home alone, for God's sakes. They'd be better off than you taking them on some last trip to try to, you know, milk childhood out of it. It's not going to work. Because all I want to do at night is run out while you're sleeping and have a good time. I can guarantee, oh, not my child. No, your little child is going to be in the Disney pajamas there in the youth bed in the hotel. She's dying to sit home with you after you've gone to a bad meal in downtown. I think to myself as I see the poor tourists. It's a tough age for parents when the children hit 4. Oh. The worst thing for fathers is when the daughter's 11, 12, because he knows he's got about a minute left of childhood. Then he knows one day he hears from friends. He's going to come home and he's going to think that this, you know, the little girl that he loved, she's going to turn around. It's going to be like The Shining. He's going to wake up and it's going to be like The Shining for the next 20 years. That's all. She is going to so hate you because you're like the red light. Shut up, father. No, go to, you don't know anything. What do you know about my needs? You're not fulfilling me. That's coming soon. That's why a lot of guys just check out. They die before the girl becomes 14. They get a coronary before she becomes, like from The Shining. The mother, anyway, if you look, the symptoms are the handwriting is on the wall. If your wife's already shaved most of her hair off and you're ready to the DC from the, you know what I mean? You may as well have a heart attack. There's nothing waiting for you. You got nothing to look forward to. Nothing. There's nothing waiting for you. It's all downhill. You're on a downhill run. There's absolutely nothing to look forward to in your life after that point. Well, unless you're like me, you have a talk radio career. Otherwise, you're finished. Play Speedo. There's a guy calling you wants to hear Speedo. They often call me Speedo, but my real name is Mr. Earl. Go ahead, play it. Play it for the listener in Chicago, Eric. I got one all. It's not that good. You see, I'm not in the mood. If I wanted to hear Speedo, I would have called for it. He wants to hear Speedo. He can go download it for nothing from Napster or whatever they get it from. What is he bothering me for a song? I'm nothing. I have any reason to play a song for him. What do I actually want to talk about? It's like that rare point in a show that there very few people will indulge in, where you're hanging on that high wire. There's no net below you. I got the stack of stories. I got the sound bites. I got interviews I did. But something is in the back of my mind waiting to emerge. Something wants to come out on the air that I'm repressing. There's a repressed component of today that when it comes out will make a very, very good show. So let me think about it during the break. I'll be right back. Only in America can an alleged murderer like O.J. Simpson suddenly be resurrected and start to appear in various places when he publishes a book. Because in America, the streets are paved with yolds, not with gold. And so he appears, O.J. Simpson does, on some internet television show, and he thinks that every caller is a moron. And so one of them calls him in clip 19 and sets him up. Listen to this.
Hi, good show, dude. My kid Chris was wondering, do you think it was a bigger feat to break 2,000 yards in one season or slice two necks in one night?
I'm having a little trouble, Kevin, hearing you.
So the caller asks O.J. Simpson, he'd like to know which was a greater feat, breaking 2,000 yards in one season or slicing two necks in one night. And O.J. says he's having a little trouble hearing Kevin. Let's hear the next one.
Hey, how are you doing?
Not bad, Brett.
Hey, OJ, I had a question for you. You know, with everything that Michael Vick has been going through and being indicted, I was just wondering if you wanted to meet me on the Jersey Shore to do live.
There we go. You know, you're going to get jokers, but that's the great thing.
I don't mind. I mean, people can say what if it's negative or what, as long as they're serious about the question they're asking.
Right. As long as they're talking about you, you narcissistic man, you sociopath, you narcissist. You wife beater, you murderer, according to Ron Goldman. Sure you don't mind. Any attention is good attention to a person like you. Vice President Dick Cheney on Larry King Live. Now, why would Cheney keep going to Garlic Breath? I don't understand this. Garlic Breath hates him. Garlic Breath is on the other side of the aisle. And yet guys like Cheney don't understand where their support came from, how they're even in office. They never, ever appear on a conservative show, unless it's a setup with the golfer, you know. Old buddy golfer there. Okay, I understand that. Why would he go on Garlic Breath show? I don't understand this. I'm not going to play any of that. I'll play clip 31. Let me play that.
Does it bother you that the Iraqi parliament is taking August off?
Well, it's better than...
men are over there.
Yeah, it's better than taking
women.
2 months off, which was their original plan. Our Congress, of course, takes the month of August off to go back home, so I don't think we can say that they shouldn't go home at all, but obviously...
No. What do you mean go home at all? That is their home. You mean go to Brooklyn and open up a rug shop? A rug store? What do you mean go home? We're trying to build a government and they're taking a month off. Maybe I should take the month of August off. What is this? Somebody, I'm going to turn that down, my two-way radio. So the Iraqi parliament is taking the month off as though there's still a country there. It's amazing. And who's paying their salary? You, you moron. But Congress takes the month off, too. Psychiatrists take the month off. I don't take the month off. I should. I should take the month off. You know, I bet if I took August off, I'd come back refreshed for September. The problem is I have nowhere I want to go. Moreover, if I took the month of August off and went somewhere, I would still want to comment on the news wherever I went. So what's the point of going anywhere? I just go to a local affiliate and say, I've had enough. I've got to talk about this or that. So there's no point. Austin, Texas. Tony, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi there, Michael. Thanks for the wonderful fatherly advice about having little girls. I was laughing on the outside but crying on the inside. I have a 3- and a 6-year-old, and I'm dreading the 11 to 12.
Come on. You have the golden years ahead of you. You got 5 good years with one of them and about 8 more with the other. Then you write it off for 20. They come back. Then they'll be your friend again after it's nothing left in you. I'm joking. No, but at a certain age, 13, 14, forget, they're just not going to like you.
That's right.
Yeah. They're going to come on with black fingernails, Marilyn Manson appearance. You're going to turn around thinking that, you know, it's like, and that's it. It's over. You're going to be the bad guy, the cop. And it's a very trying thing for a father because he doesn't know how to handle that. It's very hard for him to handle somebody he loved, you know, who turns that way against him. The boys are hard, too, but it's easier for a guy with a son because there's certain things you can do with a son you can't do with a daughter, no matter what the feminists want to tell you. You know that. Well, you don't have a son. You know, a father thinks he's obliged to talk about sex with a son, let's say. He's not. There's no need for this. This is a Swedish idea. Look what it did for them. It's a collapsed society. The nation is gone. There's no Sweden. There's no Sweden there. Have you been there recently? There's no Sweden there. All because of their sexual obsession, which started in the 50s. So Ingmar Bergman is dead. He died the other day, the film director. What's the point? There's no need for this kind of angst to talk to your son about sex. They're still doing it in Sweden. I think in Sweden, the son tells the father about sex. At age 5, the kid comes home with new tricks that he learned from the pervert in the school. Nah, and don't even. There's certain things you don't have to do as a parent. You don't talk about sex with your children. Leave it to the gutter. Leave it to the internet. That's the new gutter of our time. The internet is the electronic gutter. Let them learn from the gutter. You know, I really think the internet needs to be controlled. I know many of you think, oh, how dare you? You're against the fairness doctrine, but you want the internet controlled. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I want the internet controlled. Well, first of all, it's already being controlled, moron. You think you have a free internet? You're wrong. Go watch To Catch a Predator. It's illegal, for example, to use the internet for a grown man to try to make a date with a person under a certain age, right? So already there are controls on the internet. You can't use a false credit card to order goods without getting arrested. There are hundreds of crimes that you can commit on the internet, if not thousands. So don't tell me there is no control over the internet. There is control. And there's no constraint over publishing people's home addresses and publishing go and get them on the internet. The government has to crack down on these evil people. That's how I see it. WOR, New York, Jerry, what's your complaint? Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing, Michael? This is kind of off topic, bicycling. I live on Staten Island. I'm trying to figure out a way that the city, in its great wisdom, could have bicyclists get access into the County of Kings, which is Brooklyn, obviously. And we've been pushing very hard, and there's kind of a rumor going on that there would be some kind of bicycle access on the Verrazano Bridge, which is really kind of an unbeatable feat to get across that bridge.
What do you want me to do about it?
A lot of people think that New York City is hospitable to biking or bicyclists, and it's not really true. You really look at the island.
So you want bicycle access to Manhattan, and you're calling me on a national show?
Yeah, I think you could really be an advocate.
Well, you're just pulling my leg. You know how much what I think of bicycle buffoons. You know that. You're just pulling my leg. You want to get a reaction out of me. No, I don't believe you need access. I think that bicyclists need to be controlled. They're out of control here in California. They're totally out of control. Most of them are snot noses from San Francisco, mainly attorneys. A goodly percentage of them are, let us put it this way, bipolar in the sex department. And they come out and ride 4 abreast. Pardon the pun.
Savage.
As you know, you're listening to the Savage Nation. And you also know the liberal newspapers of America and its liberal syndicated columnists are dying a slow, agonizing death at the hands of talk radio and the internet. I spoke with Bruce Bartlett about the decline and fall of the liberal media empire. Listen.
Well, the main problem is that there's fewer papers than there used to be. And in particular, almost all afternoon papers have pretty much disappeared. And this is important because the afternoon papers generally tended to be the conservative papers in towns where there were two newspapers. So we've pretty much lost a good chunk of the conservative voice in the newspaper business. The conservative voice has essentially moved to alternative media, talk radio, and the internet in particular, and I think that's all fine. I think if you'd rather be in a growth industry, which those things are, rather than a dying industry, which the mainstream media is, and so I think that it's more amenable to conservative views than the mainstream media, and I think it's only a matter of time before a good chunk of it simply disappears.
Unbelievable.
When you're, the only newspaper in town, you have to try, or the only network news operation, you have to try to please everybody, which means not upsetting anybody. And I think that people who care about politics, care about the news, prefer something a little bit more pointed, something a little bit more interesting. And I think people on both the left and the right have gravitated away from that media to find places where they can find expressions of their point of view that is more biting, shall we say, more deeply expressed than the sort of blandness that one tends to get in the major media these days. The main point of view one sees primarily in the mainstream media these days is sort of a squishy liberalism. It's not the hard left. The people on the hard left are as frustrated by it as conservatives are. But other than a couple of people such as George Will, you just don't really see conservative voices. And a lot of this has to do with the nature of the newspaper business. You see, if a newspaper subscribes to the New York Times syndicate or the Washington Post syndicate in order to get the news stories that come across from those sources, they usually get the columnists for those papers more or less for free. That is, no additional cost. Whereas if they want to subscribe to a particular columnist from Creator Syndicate, where I was syndicated, they have to pay extra. So it's easier just to run David Broder or Tom Friedman or some people of that sort who pretty much mirror the conventional wisdom, and rather than try to seek out an individual voice that might be a little bit different, and that's true of conservative papers as well as liberal ones, although, as I said, there aren't very many of those left.
Wow, that's something.
I think the future of the newspaper business is pretty grim. I think that as time goes by, we're going to see more and more papers either become national papers, as the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and USA Today are, or they will shrink to become purely local news sources and won't not even maintain a pretense of having national coverage. They will no longer have their own bureaus in foreign countries, for example, or even a significant presence in places like Washington. They'll just run the same stuff that runs in the New York Times and the Washington Post and devote their resources to local coverage. And for people who want national news, they're going to have to go to the Internet or to these few national newspapers. And there may be others that may try to fill that gap. If Rupert Murdoch takes over the Wall Street Journal, one of his goals may be to use its national distribution system to perhaps create some other types of national newspapers, such as exist in other countries, such as Canada and the United Kingdom.
No, come on.
It's possible that alternative media may fill this gap more, although talk radio is largely dominated by conservatives. I don't know that there's any particular reason why that will continue to be the case in the future. And I think I think there's opportunities for expansion there in other ways. And let's not forget cable news, which is another important area of alternative media, where people are getting news from what appear to be opinionated sources. I've always believed that a great deal of the success of talk radio is not the pure opinion that people are hearing, but the fact that they're hearing news that they wouldn't otherwise hear on the CBS Evening News or places of that sort. And I think that that needs to be developed a little bit more, to where the talk radio, the alternative conservative talk radio element, is a more formalized news distribution network. To my knowledge, nobody's really attempting to do that. But I think it's something people would like to hear.
Any other important topics the Savage Nation wants to hear about?
Oh, if they were to bring back the fairness doctrine, at least if it operated the same way as it used to, it would be absolutely devastating to opinion journalism everywhere. It would absolutely kill talk radio, because it's just utterly impractical to have somebody there expressing an alternative opinion continuously. The way I understand the fairness doctrine operated in the past is, you couldn't have, say, a one-hour conservative show and then follow with a one-hour liberal show. That was not sufficient. What you had to have were all you could do is debate points of view continuously. And I think that people don't like that. In general, people don't want to hear that kind of debating, and they don't want to hear, you know, alternative, have shows such as yours have to have other people come on to express their an alternative point of view. Because in many cases, some of these disagreements are not even opinion. They're trying to dispute factual information. So it's utterly impractical. It won't work, and I really don't think it's going to happen. But it's certainly something that would be devastating to both talk radio and to cable news, I think, if it happened.
Thanks for being on the Savage Nation. We're going to call you very soon again.
Thanks very much, Michael.
Savage.
Well, their loss is my gain and your gain. I mean, the afternoon newspapers died or are dying, and so you tune into the Savage Nation to give you opinions and views. And that's what I'm doing. That's why the show survives at all. Let them bring back the afternoon papers. I'll get the white hat and move to West Palm Beach. No, I don't know what to do down there. I just can't see it. There's no Chinese food in that area, number one. Number two, I don't like the sun. Number three, I can't go to an early bird dinner at 1:30 in the afternoon. Number four, number five. But on the other hand, I love the ocean, so I may do it anyway. Kalispell, Montana. Tim, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Mike, I want to know what the solution is if your wife kind of seems to be turning over from AC to DC and, you know, just not as much interest in being a woman as there used to be.
Well, I don't... You mean you're having that problem now?
Well, it seems to be developing, and I was wondering if, you know, you said it...
How many years have you been married?
Almost 30. 28 years.
Well, what are her options? I mean, there are women in town who are, like, looking for her or what? I mean, at that age?
Oh, no, that's not what I mean. But I thought that you meant they just kind of lose interest in the man, I guess I'd say. Not so much.
Well, after 30 years, what do you expect? I mean, you've had a pretty good run at it, buddy. I mean, 30 years is a pretty good track record. Don't underestimate yourself here. Don't take it personally. At a certain point, the woman doesn't want to be bothered with that kind of stuff, generally. Yeah, I'm talking about basically the fringe cities like New York and San Francisco and L.A. where at a younger age, they cut their hair off already and they think that they're AC/DC and Foot Power. You're in another category. You're in another category altogether. I mean, she's just losing interest in that particular part of her life. It doesn't mean she doesn't like you.
Well, yeah, I thought it was just the hassle of having little kids and stuff, you know, and then they started to grow up and nothing.
Well, you're saying the kids grew up and now you're alone and now you thought you'd have a wild free time day and night?
Well, no, but I thought.
Let me ask you something. Is there any way to tell your doctor to back off on the RXs for Viagra? I mean, with the advent of Viagra and Levitra and the others and Cialis, I mean, the poor women don't get a break. They reach a certain point where they figure the guy will leave them alone. Now, all of a sudden, they wake up and there's a rapist in the house.
Come on.
Thanks for having a good sense of humor. I'll be right back. Savage.
Who are standing around.
All right, we have an emergency here. Minutes ago, a bridge over the Mississippi River in Minneapolis has collapsed. The Interstate 35W Mississippi River Bridge near University Avenue has fallen into the river. Cars are in the river. A couple of cars are on fire. School bus full of children are safe. There are cars trapped on the bridge. The passengers are trapped on the bridge above the water. Tons of concrete have collapsed. People are injured. Survivors are being rescued. This is a major, major deal. Now, the road has been under construction since the beginning of summer. Nobody knows why this happened. We can immediately rule out terrorism, though. That we know. We must immediately rule out terrorism because if we even think it, we might be arrested for a hate crime. We do not know if Michael Chertoff had a gut feeling about this in some way, but we'll keep you posted. The I-35W bridge has collapsed into the Mississippi River. It is something to behold. Let's listen in quickly. Go ahead.
To other hospitals in the area, they'll be triaged. HCMC at this point is considering this a disaster situation. They don't know at this point, though, how many patients will be brought here. Several will be taken to other hospitals. But even as I'm standing here, you can see several ambulances have gone by, and they'll be dropping people off here. They'll be leaving, and certainly they've sent as many resources as possible out to the scene to be able to help in any way they can. The more ambulances out there, the more medical personnel out there, the better.
We're talking, this is a breaking story, happened a few minutes ago, a bridge collapsed into the Mississippi River in Minneapolis. It's an Interstate 35W bridge, and there are people trapped in their cars on the floating concrete or the concrete still sitting above the water. Cars in the river, cars on fire. People have been swept away by the river. One note of good news here is that a school bus did not go down. The children were safe, but the bridge did collapse, and we don't know the cause of this. We do know, again, that it was not terrorism-related. We immediately know that it's not terrorism-related. And although we spend trillions of dollars, we must immediately all assume there is no terrorism involved in any such event, because if we do assume so, we are paranoid and subject to hospitalization and drug therapy. 1-800-449-8255. If there's somebody listening to the Savage Nation in the Minneapolis area, at the site or in the region of this collapse, and you want to call and give us an eyewitness account, please call so immediately. We'll put you right up. Go ahead back to the report from the scene.
And she's on route here right now. So she herself, the person who kind of gathers information and gives it to us as members of the media, she herself is trying to get a handle on the situation, and she said that she should be out here within just a few minutes.
All right, Tricia, we will check back. Thank you so much. And we want to update those of you who are just arriving home from work. What you're looking at right now is a live scene, 35W in both directions, collapsed shortly after 6 o'clock today.
A large section of that bridge simply fell to the ground. Eyewitnesses are saying at the time there was bumper-to-bumper traffic, and apparently witnesses believe that there was road construction going on. We have no idea if that played a role in this bridge collapse or not. We spoke with one gentleman earlier on the phone who said he just fell 35 feet in a free fall, and near him, right behind him, was a school bus. That particular bus, they were able to carry all of the children off of the bus, some of whom had injuries, but obviously thankful that they were on the particular section they were on and not farther in, because a large section of that bridge simply went into the water.
Also a fair amount of semi-traffic, construction vehicle traffic, which we are told may account in part anyway for the smoke you see there at the center top of your screen. There was a fire there much earlier that really was really blazing for a bit there, the smoke heavy and black for a time. It appears now to be somewhat under control. And we also spoke with Lieutenant Amelia Huffman with the Minneapolis Police Department not too long ago, who had told us.
All right, listening to the local reporters here in Minneapolis, a 35W bridge collapsed into the Mississippi River. People have obviously died here. It was at rush hour, full traffic into the river. And we don't know the cause. There are still cars trapped on the bridge right above the water. Some people fell right down into the raging river. It's a horrific scene. If you got a television set, many of you are watching this right now, and I'm sure we'll hear all about it all night long and, of course, into tomorrow. This is a terrible, terrible thing. Nobody is positing a reason for this collapse. They say there was construction ongoing. We have no idea, though, as to whether or not this construction had anything to do with the collapse. Moreover, we don't know if there was any terrorism involved or not. Now you say, well, why talk about that? Why not talk about it? We're going to talk about anything because we still live in a free country. Kevin, WOR, go ahead quickly. Make your point.
I'm watching this also. Is this a metaphor for our country that it's collapsing?
It could be. It could be. I don't know what it's a metaphor for. I know that these poor people were in their cars and they fell into the river. And there's no explanation for this. Even if there was construction, isn't it rather unusual for construction to lead to a collapse of a major artery like this with a bridge over it? A river? I never heard of this. I mean, who was the contractor? You know, there are 100 questions that need to be answered the first day, in the first day. You know, was construction involved? Did anyone see a charge of a bomb go off? I don't know. We have no idea right now. 1-800-449-8255. I realize that many of you are not interested in this because you're not there, but it's a major story. If there's anything new, we will come back to the bridge collapse over the Mississippi River in Minneapolis. Many cars are in the river. We're waiting to get an update. Fire back with the update right now. Let's hear where
massive.
They are right now.
The pictures are just absolutely terrifying. It happened at 6:05 local time. The way the situation is described by people who were there, there was bumper-to-bumper traffic on this bridge, 35 westbound, that connects with a local university, University Avenue. It was jam-packed, and traffic was at a crawl when the bridge simply gave way. One witness who was actually on the bridge and said he fell about 35 feet into the water said there was jackhammering going on. Apparently, there was construction going on this bridge all summer long. He said the bridge felt like it was shaking from the jackhammer and simply gave way. A tractor.
Okay. Well, that's a theory. That's a good one.
Fire.
Of course, the University of Minneapolis is a very liberal institution. God knows how many illegal aliens are in that university and how many wonderful people from the Middle East are in the nuclear engineering department. But, of course, they would have nothing to do with this. We can't speculate in any negative manner because we're liable to offend certain people here who have extremely thin skins, and we don't want to do that. We'll just assume it was the plane construction reason that it collapsed. You know, construction workers have no idea what they're doing in America. They have no concept of safety. It's only been going on since the beginning of the nation. I frankly don't believe that a contractor would be that foolish to have not put safety elements in place. They're going to use a jackhammer around the bridge like this at rush hour without having examined the possibility of weakening the roadway. I don't believe that either right now. So we have to wait and see. We don't know what exactly happened. We do know that it's a major league disaster in Minneapolis. We still don't even know how many people are dead, how many people are injured, because it just happened within this last hour, and we're getting these reports sketchily from the cable channels themselves and, of course, from the reporters on the scene in the local channels. The minute I come back on this show, we'll have an update for you on the Savage Nation. as well as all the other breaking news and commentary, unlike the local newspaper, which is reporting yesterday's news.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
A local news operation that as many as 50 vehicles were certainly involved.
All right, we are all hearing about the bridge collapse over the Mississippi River in Minneapolis during rush hour, bumper-to-bumper traffic, cars in the water, people unaccounted for. We don't know the cause. Rescue boat is on the scene. It's news that's breaking. We're going to bring it to you as we learn more. Go back to the feed, please.
Twisted infrastructure. Minneapolis, we know that for sure.
Get off the station. I hate this guy. I don't want to listen to this cretin. Okay, thank you very much for helping me out on this as well. Los Angeles, Larry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What do you think?
Michael, as soon as I heard about this, I thought this is terrorism.
Why?
Because Paul Williams has said this in his books, that the Al-Qaeda will be hitting the infrastructure in America, the bridges, the tunnels, and this is the first thought that came to my mind.
Well, a few weeks ago in New York, the steam pipe exploded. We were told it was definitely not terrorism, but so far that story's been brushed under the... under the rug. We were told it was a steam pipe that was old. We don't know who worked down there. We don't know if it was someone from the Middle East who was hired through affirmative action and put down there into the steam pipe area. They've never divulged to us what actually happened in New York. So we're never going to learn what happened here either. A guy has to come running out and scream Allah Akbar for you to hear it's terrorism. Even then they'll tell you it's no relationship, that he's just a madman on the wrong drug.
That's right, and it's right. It's August 1st. It's the middle of America. It's Minneapolis. We're just coming up to the
end. Well, let's not rush to judgment. It could simply be a collapse, although I find it very hard to believe in this day and age with all of the safety rules, with the EEOC, with everything imaginable put in place for everything you do till you can move left or right in this country, you have to sign 5,000 forms, that this could be the result of a simple collapse. When we had a freeway collapse in the Bay Area several months ago, it was because a flaming truck hit the thing, you know, a fuel truck. There's no reason for this one. There's no reason being given. Let's go back to the news feed now, please.
Evening rush hour.
What he's talking about either. Try the next one. Go to Wolf Blitzer, see what he knows. Nothing. Okay. He has nothing. What does anyone know? None of us know anything. So there's no point in covering this. There's nothing to cover. The bridge has collapsed. If there's any breaking news, I will give it to you. If you're in a car right now, you're not going to get anything more than you're going to get from me. If you're at home, you're already watching it on television. So there's nothing we can do with this. WRKO in Boston, Jack, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage.
Yes.
I've been construction all my life. When they build bridges, you call them coffin dams to put the post up to hold the cement.
Right.
No one on a bridge with a jackhammer is going to let that bridge fall. There is something there at the coffin dam that let go today.
Okay, so you're saying with all the safety rules in place and the bureaucrats and the red tape, there's no way that simple jackhammering at a construction site could have weakened the pilings or the supports and caused this bridge collapse. That's your opinion.
Coffin dam is holding up. What I'm saying is that there was a possibility they saw the construction, knew that the traffic would back up, and not saying nothing because we want to spoil the liberals again. Something happened there, buddy.
You think somebody blew up one of the supports, the temporary supports? You're saying one of your theories would be, if you were advising the FBI, you'd look into that. Did somebody tamper with one of the temporary braces? Is that what you're saying?
Right, Jack. Doctor, you know the earthquake in 98 or something in San Francisco?
89, yes.
It was 89. Okay, I'm sorry. That was when the coffin dams let go because the earth moved. It was an earthquake. But this did not move. This is a straight bridge on a river, not in the ocean.
Yeah.
You understand how...
So your theory is, you're saying look into it. You're saying look into it. Don't give up so fast that it was a pure accident. Well, I'm sure they're going to look into it. Right now they have to rescue the people in the water. That's the first step. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Brad, go ahead, please.
Thanks, Michael. It concerns me that what we do when we're at war and we're attacking, we go after your infrastructures. And I'm not familiar with the area, but I would wonder if another bridge or two were taken out in the short term, if some people would be, I would say, just locked in a particular part of the state over there.
What you're saying is that in a military enterprise against the city, the first thing you do is go after the infrastructure to prevent movement?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Let's hope that this is an accident and there's nothing worse coming, you know. Let's hope that that's not what's going on. You know, it could be just an old bridge that fell apart during construction. Let's not rush the judgment. Toledo, Ohio. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. I'm a conservative, was a liberal at one time, been listening to your program about 4 years. And we just had the Veterans Memorial Bridge built here in Toledo. Very nice bridge. And I didn't happen to work on that project, but I do notice a lot of bridges, even here in Toledo and in other cities, Chicago or Detroit, that aren't ill repair, and this doesn't surprise me one bit.
You're saying the infrastructure across America is very old and falling apart.
Well, yeah, when this bridge was built, it was probably before the standards in which we are doing now. And if I were a betting man, I would say this bridge is at least 20, 25 years old or older.
Okay, that's certainly a possibility, and I thank you for that call. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Mississippi Frank, next up, about the bridge collapse over the river. What's your comment?
Yes, sir. In my opinion, there's terrorism has been going on before 9/11 and since 9/11, but the policy is not to alarm the public because of backlash against Islamics.
That's a given. That we know. But we can't tie them to this at all. And there's no reason we should suggest that. But there's no question there have been numerous incidents of terrorism by Muslims against non-Muslims. I can read you at least 8 such events, whether it be the car in North Carolina, the one in San Francisco, the shooting of Jewish women in Seattle by a man who said he did it for Allah. One after the other, they've all been swept under the rug. How about the Bosnian Muslim who shot people indiscriminately in Salt Lake City and was stopped by off-duty police officers, again swept under the rug? And they didn't give you the follow-up, which is that he was given a hero's burial in Bosnia after he committed that heroic act. However, we can't rush the judgment on this. Something's wrong with this picture. We don't know whether it's old infrastructure. We don't know what it is, so we can't speculate. But then again, we can talk about it. We're not obligated not to talk about it. Nobody's controlling you or me saying, don't dare talk about it. Let the authorities tell you what it was. People want to talk. People want to give you their initial gut reaction. And by God, that's what you're going to hear on this show. Chicago, Paul, go ahead, please. What's your conjecture?
Yes, sir. My credentials to say what I'm going to say is that I'm a senior technical editor of several trucking industry publications. There have been new chemicals that have been used in the past few years to eliminate salt, snow and ice. They're much stronger than salt. They have been corroding America's infrastructure and highways. And considering that the collapse was in Minneapolis, I would not at all be surprised if corrosion was the major cause.
Well, there you go. There's a rational theory as to why it collapsed. So I don't know. What are these chemicals? What's their family, these new chemicals? To melt ice, what are they using?
Most of them, they used to use sodium chloride or sodium chloride mixed with...
Right, salt, in other words. Now what are they doing?
Now they're using magnesium chloride and calcium chloride in combinations. They also are starting...
Well, hold on. Let's tell the average person why that affects steel and concrete differently than sodium does. The magnesium, for example, it's different. How does it differ from sodium in terms of its effect upon concrete and steel?
There are some chemicals that are more aggressive than other chemicals, even though they're all in the chloride family. For example, there are acids. We consume citric acid every day.
Basically, in orange juice. Yes, in orange juice.
It's an acid. We consume vinegar. but sulfuric and nitric acid, they're in the same chemical family, but they are.
I hear you. Okay, so it's a matter of ionic strength. It's a matter of the relative strength of the acid, obviously. There are mild acids, and then there are powerful corrosive acids. And you're saying that it could be these could be responsible for the bridge collapse. Again, we're just speculating. We have no idea. There's no new news. The bridge has collapsed in Minneapolis over a major artery. People are in the water. There are rescue boats on the scene. 20 to 30 injuries. No deaths being reported at this time. It is near the University of Minnesota campus. It is also near the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, out of which the Flying Imams flew and sued. It's called a flew and sue area. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Go to the news, please. The bridge collapses. The story, Minneapolis.
Like this, and now we're beginning to get our first reports of people arriving at hospitals. We're being told that now all area hospitals in Minneapolis, the St. Paul area, are now on alert. They are willing to take patients. We are now hearing that ambulances are arriving at various hospitals with a number of patients, and some of those patients are in critical conditions. We know that they are flying helicopters.
All right, everyone's talking about this. The injuries. We don't know if there are any deaths. One, we have no idea why this happened. The only thing we know for sure is that it was not terrorism. We cannot even think that, because if we do, we are committing some kind of crime against America, and we might be arrested for a hate crime or a thought crime. So flush that thought down your mind. Now, there was construction ongoing, but we just learned in the last 2 minutes that there was no such construction underneath the bridge itself. It was on the roadway leading up to the bridge. So I don't know how you can say it was to do with the construction. You know, anything is possible. But something's going to break on this. The main thing is the safety of the people. They got boats out there. Rescue boats are in the river. They say there's 30 or so injuries. They say there's no deaths. But how can they know that right now? In fact, two people are now confirmed dead. According to a Milwaukee NBC affiliate, they know the two people are now confirmed dead. And that's just the beginning. Let's get the callers up here. Alan, WOR, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your quick comment on this bridge collapse in Minneapolis?
Hearts and prayers with these people who are getting through this. I just want to say that once again, Homeland Security and Chertoff has the...
Wait, what does Homeland Security have to do with this? How could he know the bridge was going to collapse?
I just want to say this. Right now, we have an opportunity to comfort people by showing the force and the contingency in place. We spend millions of dollars on these plans.
Oh, well, that's another story. Yes, you're saying where is the federal response, which should be immediate? We have trillions of dollars invested. It's like a Katrina. Every time there's a tragedy, there's no federal response. There was none in New York. I hear you on that. There should be an immediate federal response to a bridge collapse like this. What, God forbid, if someone set off a dirty bomb? What would it take them, 3 months to figure out what to do? That's what you're saying, aren't you, Alan?
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, the man is right. Where is the immediate federal response? They should be there, Johnny, on the spot. Something, some presence, some statement from a federal official saying this is not terrorism. Where are they? They're all on vacation? Albany, New York. Arthur, your quick comment on this bridge collapse.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I've been thinking about this whole thing, and the only thing I can come up with is between the bridge and that steam pipe in New York, these things have gone on as long as I've been alive, and they're incidents. When you think about terrorism, every time any kind of terroristic act has happened in recent years has been very grandiose, very aggrandized. They want you to know you were hit, and they're going to make sure that there is no...
All right, so you're saying this is too minor a hit for the terrorists. I don't know what you call minor or major. I'm not saying it's terrorism. We're just saying nobody knows anything. But we must rule out terrorism in order to retain loyal Americans. We must rule out terrorism. That we know, right, Arthur?
No, I cannot say it's not terrorism in any way.
Well, why not? I mean, I'm sure that anyone who says it's terrorism is a right wing nutcase.
Oh,
it's not terrorism. It's merely construction oversights. You know, there was not enough affirmative action in the construction crew. That's why the bridge collapsed. Had they only given the contract out to, let's say, women or minority-owned contractors, the bridge wouldn't have collapsed at all. This is a result of the white male hegemony over the construction industry. That's why it collapsed. There's no question about that. This is classically a result of racism. as to why the bridge collapsed. It's the old boy network. That's why this bridge collapsed. Now, it is true, the old white boy network built the bridge, but that was then. This is now. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number, Bakersfield, California. Matt, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the first thing that came to my head when I was thinking about this whole thing, Savage, is that didn't the flying imams attend a conference in Minneapolis before they boarded the plane to start harassing everybody?
And but that has nothing to do. This has nothing to do with the flying imams, and they certainly haven't become floating imams. That we know, they weren't on this bridge, so far as we know. They were not. They're not floating in the water. They're still flying imams. They're flying from one court to another. But they've agreed not to sue any John Does. That's because they didn't agree to anything. The Congress pulled the rug out from under them. They were going to sue everyone in sight. But thankfully, they're not floating imams right now. That's the main thing to remember, is that they are not floating imams. The important thing is that they're still alive and healthy and well, and they can continue to sue and work the courts like an oil well in Saudi Arabia. But I want to ask you something. Do you believe that the federal government in the first hour should have some presence there or not? Do you believe there should be some federal official who's giving a speech immediately to some extent or another? You know, we had a lot of controversy over Katrina where the government didn't react properly. We were told that there were a lot of safety checks in place, that if there was another tragedy of any kind, they'd be Johnny on the spot. We had the New York steam pipe explosion. I saw no federal presence. I saw no federal speech. Nothing, zero, nada. Now, maybe they're doing this on purpose to say to you, calm down, there's no terrorism, don't rush to judgment. And that could be a strategy on their part. I frankly think it's a bad strategy. I think if they're going to play Big Brother and they're our protector, I think Big Brother should be at these sites and they should be there fast. And they should say there is no terrorism, it's because the nuts broke on the support structures or something to that effect. I'd like to know why there's no commentary from Homeland Security, but I don't think we're going to get that answer as well. We're going to continue to cover any breaking news on this. There really is not much I can tell you that you can't get yourself truthfully from a television set. Many of you, though, are in a car right now, and you don't have access to television. So I'll continue to bring you updates on the bridge collapse over the Mississippi River. This is definitely bridge over troubled waters, or it's a troubled bridge over calm waters. All I know is that a bridge has collapsed on a major artery over the Mississippi River, right coming out of the University of Minnesota campus. Cars in the river. Rescue boat is out there. There are injuries and confirmed deaths. We'll be right back on the Savage Nation to cover this.
Normally three or four lanes of traffic was down to one with a lot of cars. A buddy of mine said, this isn't normal.
Yeah, okay, back again to the 35W highway bridge collapse out of Minneapolis. Several are dead, many injured, people in the water, rescue boats on the way, chaos, total and absolute chaos. Nobody knows the cause. Nobody knows the cause right now, but people, of course, being people, are speculating. The only thing we know is that it was not terrorism. That's the one thing we must all agree upon immediately in order not to be accused of being racist, bigots, or crazy right-wingers. So don't even think it was terrorism-related. This has to be something to do with either infrastructure or the hegemony of the old white boy network and their shoddy construction in the United States of America. 1-800-449-8255. If you want to sound off in 30 seconds or less, come on the air. Just say what you're thinking. Don't say hello to me, please. Just say, I'm Bob, here's what I think kind of thing. Okay, let's try it now. Let us begin in Cincinnati. Tim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Tim, and my dad worked for the state of Ohio inspecting bridges for 40 years, and we had a bridge in 1967 fall between West Virginia and Ohio, the Silver Bridge, killed 80 people, and it was because of corrosion and an eye bolt. It was a suspension bridge. And he told me that I never wanted to get on a fully loaded bridge that was more than 15 years old. So what he used to make me do is sit at the ramp and wait till my lane of traffic got halfway across the bridge, and then he would allow me to go on it. Thanks, Dr. Savage, for taking my call.
No, thank you. I can't wait to ride over the Golden Gate Bridge tonight after the show. That should be fun. But according to the latest reports, there was only one lane of traffic in each direction on this bridge tonight. It was not fully loaded with cars. That's what we're hearing. By the way, on michaelsavage.com, we have the best live feed of this as it's happening in real time. The 35W bridge collapse coming from a local station, from a chopper out there. It's better than any of the networks are covering it, in the sense that it's local and live. And I want you to turn on your computer or go over to my website, because if you want to see that, there's still smoke coming in. Here we are. There's black smoke coming out right now. Black smoke is coming out from one of the fissures in the bridge over a highway section, not over the water itself. Something smoking. Looks like a car fell in. I can see a school bus sitting suspended over the highway. Thankfully, we heard the children did not get hurt. Let's go to that NBC Minneapolis feed right now, the one I have on michaelsavage.com.
Here's a picture of the bridge that is part of the MnDOT site, we believe, and just has some information on the bridge. For example, it was 64 feet high before this collapse, and it was built in 1967, regularly inspected, as we have mentioned, by MnDOT. We're not sure when the last date that
40
was.
40 years old. This is inspected. A feed coming directly from KARE 11 out of Minneapolis. It's a better feed than any. Listen.
Collapsed instantaneously, and we've heard eyewitnesses and people who were actually in cars on the bridge at the time when it fell that 64, 65 feet say that it was just a complete free fall.
Spans about 2,000 feet and many emergency vehicles.
65 feet is six stories high. Think of your car falling from the sixth floor of an apartment building into a river. That's what happened to some folks today in Minneapolis. We're listening to the breaking news out of Chopper 5, right out of Minneapolis. It's better than the national feeds. I've got it for you live here on the Savage Nation. If you want to watch the pictures, it's on michaelsavage.com. Go ahead, please.
At this point, we have no knowledge of that. What it looks to be is just what you see it to be, a tragic, tragic evening here in Minneapolis where that bridge has collapsed. We also know that weather may be playing a role in what is happening here in the way of recovery. And our weather team is in the office right now giving us an update on some storms, gentlemen, moving through the area.
All right, let's forget this part of it. We don't need it. If you have a comment to make that you think is important for a national radio audience, let's go to the callers. Let us go to WOR in New York where Greg awaits. Go ahead, Greg. What's on your mind? What do you think?
Yes, Michael. All bridges either go an annual or a biannual inspection to make sure what the steel condition is like. So that's going to be a big question. When was the last time this bridge was inspected? And I don't know what kind of road work they're doing up on top, but maybe they went too close to expansion joints. I don't know. But
you're a bridge painter, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, in Manhattan. I'm currently working on the Manhattan Bridge. And I've seen.
Well, those bridges are 100 years old, some of them. I remember driving over the Brooklyn, Williamsburg Bridge when I was a kid. The bridge was already an antique.
Correct. And that's a big part. A lot of this infrastructure is very old, and I've worked on some of these bridges. The steel is paper thin because of no maintenance.
Well, I hear that from guys who are riveters on the Golden Gate Bridge, that they've told me you don't want to know how thin some of the beams are. They've told me that. It's a 24/7, around 365-a-year job, and they tell me that the steel is very thin in sections. But, you know, most people don't pay any attention to that. So you think this is simply a matter of age catching up with it. But the bridge is only 40 years old. That's not very old for a bridge, is it?
Well, look, for example, there's the Tappan Zee Bridge in New York that was built in the 60s. And they're thinking about ripping that down now because it's all also it has to do with maintenance. What kind of maintenance are they doing? If you're not doing any maintenance like they didn't do for many years and the main bridges of New York City, they're going to fall apart.
Right. Well, they had to spend the money on giving out free needles to junkies and sex education classes to sexually ambiguous people. They couldn't afford to put it into infrastructure. They needed night basketball. And, of course, now we need the money in Iraq, not for infrastructure repair. It's always going somewhere else. Thank you for that call. We're talking about the bridge collapse over the Mississippi River in Minneapolis. Let's go back to the local feed, local only. Go ahead, please.
Training is different because the possibility of a calamity is perhaps a little bit less so. So I think in this situation, you've got two reasons why you're seeing what appears to be a very measured and matter-of-fact type operation here with recovery, with rescue, with emergency personnel, and with talk now of the conversations happening between the agencies. So as we had mentioned before, we certainly expect there to be a central command.
Right, this is too technical for me. This is already a guy, an MBA with no emotion. I could do without him. Let's go to Reno, Nevada. Matthew, what are you feeling right now? Go ahead.
Well, Michael, my question is, when the day comes that the American people realize that the government cannot or will not protect them from terrorism or disaster, will we as American citizens be able to do what it takes to defend ourselves in this country?
No, of course not. You'll be the target of the federal government. That's one thing they're good at. That's one thing I can guarantee you they can do real swiftly, which is disarm you. Thank you for the call. No, we're not capable of anything. The day of the Minutemen are over. The day of the Boston Tea Party is over. The day of the British are coming is over. If Paul Revere were alive today, he would be considered a right-wing nut. If George Washington were alive today, he'd be considered a right-wing nut. If General Patton were alive today, he'd be considered a right-wing nut. That's because the left-wing insane, the insane left-wingers run everything that you read and that you see, with very rare exception. That's why they want to close down talk radio. But let's be very clear. We have no idea what happened. The only thing we know for sure is that it was not terrorism related. We have to assume that immediately as a knee-jerk reaction, because if we don't, we're considered right-wing nuts. There's a truck on fire, tractor-trailer on fire, really badly on fire. Go to the news feed out of
Backpack
Minneapolis, please.
With Carol Levin News, been with us now for the better part of the summer, and he's on the phone with us. Jeffrey, if you would, can you tell us what access has been like for you? I don't know if you have your camera with you, if emergency personnel.
All right, this is of no value. Go on to michaelsavage.com. It's a better feed than Fox, CNN, or MSNBC has right now, because it's local, and the main channels are showing what looks to me like pretty static footage. Right now, we've got a chopper over the scene, which is totally dynamic. It is totally different than what I'm seeing on any of the news channels, and I don't really know why. It seems to me that the Chopper 5 local news that we got up on the website is live and now. I see women walking around on the roadway who are dazed. I see others sitting down on the roadway, totally crying and dazed. I see rescue workers sitting in the middle of the river on a concrete pylon trying to resuscitate people who look like they're in very serious shape, as you would expect. There is no reason to think this is terror-related, according to Fox News, and you know how reliable they are. They had their call from Saudi Arabia, where there's a minority partnership. And one thing you can know is there's no terrorism here. It was simply bolts and nuts that broke as a result of road work. That's something we can guarantee you. Just as every time there's a plane crash, we're told it's the pilot who did it, that it was not the aircraft itself that had any flaw whatsoever. And that is because you can't sue a dead pilot, but you can certainly sue the manufacturer of an airplane. So we the people are really stuck between fantasy and conspiracy, and we rarely get the truth about anything. So all we can do is speculate, and speculate we will. 1-800-449-8255, WOR New York. Chuck, what's your immediate gut reaction?
Chuck from New York, and I'm originally from Minneapolis, and I've driven past that bridge, you know, back and forth many times. And I went, even though we can't rule it as terrorism, I wouldn't be surprised if it was, basically because living here in New York, I thought it was very liberal, but I don't think a lot of people know just how progressive, ultra-liberal, how should I put it, atheistic and secular humanistic the state of Minnesota is. It is the most. And I've traveled all around the country. And the thing I have to say about it, too, is
You're arguing then in a stretch here is that because it is so PC and left wing, a terrorist would have a very easy time of it in Minneapolis because the police have been trained not to think anybody of a certain particular type is of any particular interest. That's what you're saying, correct?
Right. You know, even all our politics and education, it's the most.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, that's why the imams chose to do a lawsuit in Minneapolis. They know where the soft spots are in America. They're expert at martial arts. They go for the soft spots of America. Minneapolis is long known to be a whack job city because of the university and the inculcation of the stupidity of the left there. But it has nothing to do with this. This could be an old nuts and bolts infrastructure collapse as well. What you're saying is true, but it may not be related fundamentally. What we're going to do now is go to the live. I think we're finished with the live feed. Is it over?
The Lieutenant
Let me hear a minute of that. Then let's go to a quick commercial break and come back.
Appear to be the case. It looks just to be a horrible tragedy.
It's just
maybe
a mystery.
Yeah,
a mystery from MnDOT as well. They said some construction was going on the bridge. Of course, we all know that's normal this time of year and happens
minor,
every
even
summer.
By their own
minor construction. He said just some concrete
minor
repair going on
concrete
at the time. We did have an eyewitness who said that
it's spontaneous collapse. It's like spontaneous collapsing.
He was driving past at 10 to 15 miles an hour in bumper to bumper traffic shortly after 6 o'clock. When
it's
all
a spontaneous collapse. It has nothing to do with
gave
anything.
Way in both directions, as you can see, and landed
A new Al Qaeda web ad threatens a big surprise again. That has nothing to do with this. Nothing whatsoever. Big surprise, but again, I can guarantee you, although we know nothing about why the bridge collapsed, it has nothing to do with terrorism. Because if you even think so, the police might knock your door down and have you arrested for unpatriotic thinking. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Children who were on a swim team who were involved in this accident. Joe, were you able to find out anything more from those parents?
Well, this is the live feed. You can turn it off now. The tragic bridge collapse in Minneapolis during rush hour. At least three are dead. I'm sure many more by tonight. You'll hear much more about it. But what just came out in the last 10 minutes is very interesting. There was no structural work going on in this bridge. It was surface road work, repaving. And that's why there were only two lanes of traffic on this bridge. So we can't claim it was construction. We do know one thing, that it was not terrorism related, because that's what the Homeland Security Department told us. So we have to take their word for it. And, of course, by tomorrow, you're going to have the hacks on television interviewing Hillary for her opinion, Obama and his opinion. It'll be like Hillary says she's man enough to have stopped this from happening before the bridge collapsed. Obama says had there been more progressive politics, this bridge wouldn't have collapsed. The money would have been spent on bridge repair instead of war and the killing in Iraq. Edwards would have said had he been president, he would have sued the pants off the contractors years and years ago as a preventative tactic. And, of course, George Bush will get up and say it definitely is not nuclear. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Freeway bridge collapses in Minneapolis during rush hour. Several dead. The live feed video on michaelsavage.com is really the best one if you can download it. I think we're being hit so hard I can't even get it right now. But it'll be up very shortly. Illegal alien contributions to the U.S. is up there. And the Minneapolis imams have dropped passengers from a lawsuit over removal from flight. They didn't drop it. Congress dropped it out from under their lawsuit. What a liar. See, but there's an example of the left wing in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. It says imams dropped passengers from lawsuit over removal from flight. They didn't drop them. Congress passed a law saying that these bums, these fraudulent bums, cannot sue the John Does because of their suspicious behavior. I'd like to sue the imams for suing us based upon false charges. Las Vegas, Paul, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, as always, our prayers go out.
Please, just give us your opinion. I don't mean to cut you off. We need to do it 30 seconds or less. What's on your mind?
The reason that the feds, I think, didn't make a big deal is because of the crap that they suffered with Katrina. And remember, it's the local and the state and the county responders that have to do the work first. And remember, that they were horrible in Louisiana and in New Orleans, and so they don't.
Well, what's the federal government going to do for us if, God forbid, we should be hit with an actual terrorist attack? Pass the buck to the state or the local authorities and say it's not our purloin?
No, but
what are they doing with the trillions of dollars we gave to Homeland Security?
Yeah, well,
don't they have any obligation to supply any kind of help for the people in the river?
Sure.
Doesn't FEMA have any helicopters they could fly in there and pull people out of the river? Where are they? Where are the helicopters, the federal helicopters? That's what I'm asking, okay? Let's start with the basic. We gave Mr. Chertoff and company billions of dollars for Homeland Security. I'm sure he's doing a great job. Why are there no federal helicopters fishing people out of the river? How's that for a common sense question? And where is the common sense answer? That's what I'd like to know. We know this is not terror related. That we know for sure. WOR New York, Phyllis, fire away your opinion, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I just came back to New York after 28 years living in Israel. My son is still in the army there, and I can tell you this is not a terrorist attack for one reason. Every single attack is always accompanied by some kind of a release by a group taking credit for the attack.
Okay.
If you don't know that they did it, then they're not terrorizing you.
Okay, I hear you, and that's very important for you to say. So therefore, we go back to infrastructure, pure infrastructure. But first they said it was construction, undermining the roadway. But now we learned it was surface construction, repaving only. So the theory that the jackhammers collapsed the bridge is over now. Right now it's a big question mark, Phyllis.
Well,
it's a big question mark, and we'll leave it at that. We'll just leave the KNEW. George, fire away your opinion. Go ahead.
So, Mike, I'm sure it's unrelated, but there's a lot of news about the radicalization of the taxi drivers in the Minneapolis airport where, you know, you can't carry alcohol or take your dog into the
so
car.
You're not saying this was a reaction to the fact that they had to carry passengers with alcohol or seeing eye dogs, are you? You're not saying because they couldn't get foot baths, they collapsed the bridge so they could get their feet wet.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I know I have a dark sense of humor, and some are going to take offense at it, but it's too bad. That's the way I am. It's one man's opinion and one man's reaction. I react to tragedy in this manner. If you don't like it, then go listen to Jack Benny. Get some old Jack Benny tapes if you don't like the Michael Savage Show. I have a sarcastic, sardonic sense of humor, and it's not illegal. Providence, Rhode Island. Rich, you're on the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Michael. How are you?
What's your opinion, please?
I haven't seen any of the pictures of the bridge yet, but I was wondering, is it a cable-stay bridge or a concrete section bridge that has
Concrete section bridge.
It sounds to me like the concrete failed. On Providence, Rhode Island, we tested a bridge 10 years ago that was ready to fail, and it still hasn't been replaced. They're looking to replace it.
You're saying just the old concrete itself can start to lose its resiliency at a certain point.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's assume that's what it is, and let's not rush to judgment and assume that it was the Minneapolis Somali cab drivers who were frustrated in their attempts to have foot baths built, and because the mean white racists did not build them enough foot baths, they decided to take the law into their own hands in order to wash their feet in the river. Let's not assume that at all. This is a terrible story. I realize that some people have no dark sense of humor. They find nothing funny. And it'll be widely reported that I made a mockery of the dead, which I didn't do. It just shows you what mean-spirited people the people on the left are. Tomorrow is another day, and with God's will and your listenership, there will be no further tragedies, just stories.
Savage.